translation by Prabhupada, because of the Lord's pastimes and activities, and because of his absence, it appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the personality of Godhead. But factually, this was not the case, and again he became Lord of his senses. Please repeat. Because of the Lord's pastimes and activities.
Because of the Lord's pastimes and activities.
And because of his absence. It appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the personality of Godhead. But factually, this was not the case. And again, he became Lord of his senses.
Okay. Time. Maharaj, just give me a second to mute everybody in pre-conferencing. Just 1 second. Okay, so we're ready. Please, those on Skype, mute yourself. Thank you.
Prabhupada's purport. A conditioned soul is enwrapped in his fruitive activities by the force of eternal time. Yeah. Wow, it's a whole discussion right there. But the Supreme Lord, when he incarnates on the earth, is not influenced by Kala or the material conception of past, present, and future. The activities of the Lord are eternal, and they are manifestations of his Atma-Maya, or internal potency. All the pastimes or activities of the Lord are spiritual in nature. But to the laymen, they appear to be on the same level with material activities. It so appeared that Arjuna and the Lord were engaged in the battle of Kurukshetra as the other party was also engaged. But factually, the Lord was executing his mission of incarnation and association with his eternal friend, Arjuna. Therefore, such apparently material activities of Arjuna did not drive him away from his transcendental position, but on the contrary, revived his consciousness of the songs of the Lord as he sang them personally. Of course, the word Gita means songs. This revival of consciousness is assured by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita, 1865. Please repeat. Manmana bhava mad bhakto.
Manmana bhava mad bhakto.
Madhyaji mam namaskuru.
Madhyaji mam namaskuru.
Mame vaishasi satyam te.
Mame vaishasi satyam te.
Patijani priyasi me.
Patijani priyasi me.
One should think of the Lord always. Of course, that's manmana, manmana bhava. One should think of the Lord always, then the mind should not forget him. One should become a devotee of the Lord and offer obeisances unto him. One who lives in that fashion becomes undoubtedly endowed with the blessings of the Lord by achieving the shelter of his lotus feet. There is nothing to doubt about this eternal truth, you know? Because Arjuna was his confidential friend, the secret was disclosed to him. Arjuna had no desire to fight with his relatives, but he fought for the mission of the Lord. He was always engaged in the execution of his mission only, and therefore, after the Lord's departure, he remained in the same transcendental position, even though it appeared that he forgot all the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. One should therefore adjust the activities of life in pace with the mission of the Lord. And by doing this, one is sure to return back home, back to Godhead. This is the highest perfection of life. So have you kind of reviewed the chapter recently?
Maharaj, we always review it when you give it.
Okay. Because I have this kind of fanaticism of always, you know, seeing the trees in the perspective of the forest, like that. So if we go back and look at it, actually, I think perspective. We're in Houston right now. Of course, if you know, Houston's a very big temple, and a lot of big successes. As I understand, they're all Gujaratis here, you know, so they're very expert business people, and they bought more and more land next to the temple. There was one guy he knew that they wanted his house because it was in between the community hall and the temple. And he was, you know, holding on for a very high price, but because they're Gujaratis, they refused to to buy anything that wasn't economical. So after the battle of will for about 7 years, the guy finally gave in and sold it for a reasonable price. So now they have, you know, temple construction. They've almost got the last dome on. It'll be the biggest ISKCON temple, I guess, in North America. It'll be the biggest ISKCON temple outside of in India, like that. The dome itself is something like, I don't know, maybe like 80 feet or something up there like that. Gigantic, you know. And of course, Radha Kalachanji themselves are, sorry, Radha Nilamadava are about 2 meters tall, about 6 feet tall, like that. So we're here and organizing very good programs for this Bhakti Bhai Bhava and Bhakti Shasti program. A lot of work, you know. And I'm sorry, I really would like to attend these classes more, but we keep running and stuff like that, so I always can't do it, you know. But in any case, thank you for your mercy in allowing us to participate. But again, this chapter is like, you know, it's part of the first canto. We're studying the whole background about what is the Bhagavatam, how it develops, you know. Because, you know, what's the word? Tato jayam udhirayat. Tato jayam udhirayat. That this is going to, you know, conquer all the problems we have in life, economic, everything else, our workloads, everything else. Just by becoming, taking the Srimad Bhagavatam for our intelligence. We acquire intelligence from our society. Who are we? What is family? What are this? All these things. And of course, it's full of like different personal story type perspectives. But if we take the Bhagavatam and all these stories, then we will never experience the forward progress of our mind will never be impeded, and our senses will never be contaminated by contact with matter. At that, even though we're living in the material world, we'll see everything in a spiritual perspective. At that, and so this chapter, of course, is showing us, especially we've already had all the pastimes, Arjuna, the Pandavas, Draupadi. They've already done so many things, all in terms of the Lord's lila pastimes. Yeah. It may appear that sometimes Draupadi is acting like an ornery woman, like that, or something like that. You know, pushing Bhima to kill Gadakchak, or so many things. But the idea is that, no, she's pretty much, maybe she's also learning something. She's an incarnation, a partial incarnation of Sachi Devi, you know, the wife of Indra. So maybe she's also learning things. You know, maybe we can't take all of her activities as completely perfect, but as more as like educational experiences sometimes. But in any case, you know, nothing but mundane in any of these things. And so after doing all these things and doing their service for their whole lives, and of course many devotees in ISKCON are in this position, they've done service their whole lives, and sometimes they lost the battle, sometimes they won the battle, but you know, if they got back up and got back in the battle, okay. That's reality, you know. I think when general, he said that wars are not won by happy, healthy, well-equipped soldiers. Wars are won by soldiers who are wounded, you know, with one arm missing, who get up and go back in and fight with that. So we should expect that, you know, all of our success in ISKCON is from us and other people who get back up again. You know, not so much you fight like with a great track record, but no, something happens. Okay, you learn from that lesson, you apologize, you correct any mistakes, and you get back up and you get back into the fight. Okay. And so Arjuna and the Pandavas, they did all this for so many years, that's what we're thinking about. And now, you know, Krishna left, and he wanted to go with him. There's some like thoughts that Jayananda, like Haridas Thakur, he could see that Prabhupada was leaving, and so he also wanted to go. So he left before Prabhupada to get things set up, you know. So many different devotees, you know. But especially the Pandavas, when Krishna goes, wow, what are we going to do? That's their life, is that Krishna has this plan, that plan. Remember Shyamasundara in the Remembrance of Prabhupada's videos, he says that every single time he went into Prabhupada's room, I think he said at some point he finally kind of realized this. Prabhupada always has some kind of new plan, some exciting thing, you know. So he started like, at that point, he started like just kind of checking it out. And he said every single time when he touched the doorknob to go in Prabhupada's room, it was again and again. Prabhupada, oh, Shyamasundara, I've been waiting for you, this and that, this and that. And Prabhupada has some like this enlivening new idea about buying gold and selling it, you know, which he got friends and they made a very nice profit, you know. It's the same way when you're with Krishna, Krishna has so many plans about how Krishna can have a good time. And because Krishna is such a generous person, who could object? Krishna having a good time means that everybody's going to enjoy. You begin to learn that, you know. So, and also he himself, he enjoys so nicely. It makes everybody so happy when you see him enjoying. This is his nature, his character. Nothing objectionable in it. So, when Pandavas left, when Krishna left, Arjuna is right there. And it appears that Arjuna, again, wasn't there when Vidura came back. When Vidura came back to talk to Dhritarashtra. But probably Bhima and Sahadev Nakula, they were all there. So when Arjuna came back, to my understanding, you look at it, is that he could have gone into Samadhi as soon as Krishna left. He could have just like done the same thing, remember these instructions, his position, and then just, you know, followed Krishna. But that's not a responsible activity because he had to make sure that Yudhishthira was informed and everything was taken care of. So he suffered this separation, and of course it wasn't separation if that's the attitude. We want to leave and follow Prabhupada right away, but we stay for some time. It's interesting because we're right here in Dallas, Houston. Of course, Tamal Krishnamurti is very prominent here. He had a very nice little like his picture and some things right at the feet of Prabhupada on the Vyasasan like that, and some of the disciples and some people following his guidance and instructions here. You know, implementing plans still. But I was actually, we left Delhi and we're just getting ready for, you know, my disciple Raktak Das to take us to the train station. We had to catch the train overnight to go to Calcutta because when we got there, we were supposed to give a whole symposium. It was a really heavy thing on science in India, science and technology in ancient India. And so we were getting ready to leave his brother-in-law's house, sister's house, in the evening to go to the train station. It wasn't too far. On the ribbon, at the bottom of the evening news, he was reading all of a sudden, he all kind of was talking. He said, oh, it just said that two Pramukh devotees from ISKCON killed in an auto accident while traveling to Calcutta from Mayapur. But there was no names in the news. But he said Pramukh means like, you know, first class, big guys, you know. So I didn't know. And we got to Calcutta, and they were putting us at the Ramakrishna Mission hotel. And finally, just about maybe like not too much later after that, I found out that Tamal Krishnamurti had left his body in that auto accident. And the devotee from New Zealand, his wife, left her body, you know. And so as soon as I had this, it was a little shocking. You know, my mind reacted like, oh my goodness, you know, Prabhupada, how could you take him like that? That's kind of my spontaneous reaction. And then I had this kind of feeling like a Prabhupada, a little bit like, what's the word, like, you know, irritated, not like angry or something, but like, why are you asking such questions? Like, you know, he said, I left him with you as long as I could. If you didn't take advantage of him, that's your fault. Not, you can't criticize me. I need him now, you know. That was this whole like a psychological reaction. Then my friend Mishra Bhagavan, he's up in Dallas, he just called. He was on Tamal Krishnamurti's Radha-Damodar party. I think he joined when he was like 18 years old, right from the very beginning. And he stayed with Maharaj pretty much all the way into through like that. He was like, took him kind of like his father in many ways, you know. And Maharaj would give him advice about everything. He's still doing book distribution. And so he said he came back to the Dallas temple and like from doing some work. And it was like about, I guess, 10 o'clock at night or something. There's a kirtan going on in the temple and devotees were outside. He said, what's going on like that? So he walked over to one Mataji. Mataji said, what's happening? And she said, oh, haven't you heard, Mishra? Goswami's left his body. And it was like, It's like, you know, he just kind of lost external consciousness. And the same, you see, he had the same reaction, you know, Prabhupada, how could you do this, that, and the same, you know, kind of like impression from Prabhupada, that Prabhupada had made the decision, okay, I want him someplace else. And he kind of came back to external consciousness, and the Mataji was kind of shaking and saying, Mishra, Mishra, Mishra. He kind of like had been out of it for some time like that. So whatever, at least we can, these pastimes, we can like, see, this is what happens, you know. We're becoming transcendentalists, and so actually we start to have out-of-body experiences, at least maybe halfway, or we stop being absorbed in the movie, in the theater, and we kind of look and see why there's no more popcorn in our popcorn bag. Oh, I finished it all. I spilled it on the floor. Okay. And what to speak of becoming conscious of the people around us in the theater, you know, like that. My wife and I are having a hellish fight. Okay, we go to the movies with the kids, and we forget about each other. We watch the movie together. Okay. And that's okay, because we like each other, basically, but now we can just watch a movie, and we can forget about these arguments for a while and be together, you know. So, material world. And okay, now we forget the movie, and maybe the movie actually helped us to look at our own perspective, and we get back together and say, yeah, actually, that movie was really good. It allowed us to understand how to act properly in terms of each other in the movie house. Yeah. So this is my observation. And so Arjuna came back, he told Yudhishthira what had happened, and then he went into samadhi. You know? Yeah. So he talks about, for example, text number 9, your respectable younger brother, who possesses the strength of 10,000 elephants, killed by his grace, Jarasandha, whose feet were worshipped by many kings. Those kings have been brought for sacrifice in Jarasandha's Mahabhairav Yajna. But they were thus released. Later they paid tribute to your majesty. It was Krishna only who loosened the hair of all the wives of the miscreants who dared open the cluster of your queen's hair, which had been nicely dressed and sanctified for the great Rajasuya sacrificial ceremony. At that time she fell down at the feet of Lord Krishna with tears in her eyes. So very, very nice, Lila Smarnam. It's like a little Krishna book. It's like Arjuna's little Krishna book. You know, these things make great classes, you know, and stuff. And of course, great dramas, too. You know? We're trying to start a program now in this Bhakti Bhai Bhava thing. You should get registered in Hawaii as a Bhakti Shastri Center. And then after that, you can become Bhakti Bhai Bhava. And it's worked out very well. We study one chapter a week. We memorize one verse a week of the Bhagavatam. And now with the study guides, we're working it out. So we have like maybe 5 different options. You pick out one of those and write, you know, one page a week. And so by the end of 4 years, you have your 100 pages of essays, 70 verses memorized, and using them. You know, your preaching is amazing. You can actually use them in preaching. Krishna sends people. And then you're talking to the governor of your state about philosophy ideas. He asks you a question. You can quote from the scriptures. My, these people know something. Yeah. So, you know, these we want to start a program every Saturday morning of having the first 2 cantos. It'd be the regular Bhagavatam class in the morning. The first 2 cantos are open to everybody. You don't have to be following the 4 principles. For example, there's a very nice Episcopalian minister here, priest, about like 70 years old. He's in charge of the medical center's Center for Health and Spirituality, the Center for Health and Spirituality, which is a very powerful organization. There's like 3 or 4 different hospitals right near each other. I mean, you know, we just go across the street and stuff like that. You know, we're talking about 15-story hospitals and everything else with their research centers in this one area here in Houston. So it's maybe the most powerful medical center in the world like that. I asked Nitai Gaur Sundar how many patients here. He said, I don't know, maybe 20,000, something like that, you know. Unbelievable, you know. And so they have a center for health and spirituality. And we worked with them a long time ago for our Congress in Bombay. And the director now, John Graham, he was a plastic surgeon, then he became an Episcopal priest. And he's older now. But so we're working with him, doing programs like that. But he said 3 times he was thinking about becoming a Hindu, but he thought he had to renounce Christianity. so he didn't do it. But if you have, for example, this Padapadma course with a diploma, and ISKCON's thinking about establishing the diploma, we had very nice discussions with Vaisheshika about all this, you know, our plans in San Jose, about 2 hours discussing everything. And he made this point. He said, most people, this is universal, practically speaking, you know, in the material world, everybody, they want a ladder, and when they get to the top of the ladder, they want a prize. But Nectar of Devotion says, enthusiasm means you have the goal and you know how to achieve it. Utsahan. So establishing for ourselves, establishing in our institutions, okay, you study these first two cantos, it'll take you 1 year. You've already been hearing them every Saturday, the little summaries like that given by the students. You've been seeing dramas at Rath Yatra and Janmashtami based upon these first two cantos. You know who Sringi is, but what, don't you want to study it systematically? Yeah, I've adjusted my life. I've talked to people how much time it's going to take. I can do this now. You know, I'll join this group. We'll meet together, you know, bigger groups once every module. And Vaisheshika said, he said, as soon as you get this all worked out, you'll see how Krishna will send people like mad. But you're not sending so many students yet because it's not ready. You know, too many students that we cramp the program. So that you can't, was it Radha Swami said, you can't imitate what we did in Chopadi like that. You know, he said, but you can take lessons from this and do the same thing with the kind of people you have in your center, your area like that. So anyway, we're developing this. And then these, for example, like somebody has to go to the Saturday morning class, one of the students, he knows in advance, they can make a nice preparation. And they have a PowerPoint show or a little dramatic reading. And of course the congregation starts coming. Hey, you know, they have real good classes Saturday morning. It's not into trouble with us for our schedule. Afterwards there's nice prasad. Hey, you know. What's on the schedule next week? Oh, next week is Sringi curses Maharaj Parikha. Wow, who's gonna be Sringi? Oh, you know. I want to play Samika Rishi. We don't have any lines, so you just sit there. Meditate. I know, that's why I want to do it. I'm a good meditator. Yeah. Okay, but we need a dead snake. Okay, you know. And so Prabhupada's saying this bhava, well, this absorb us. So anyway, Arjuna's remembering all these things. He's remembering when he went to heaven and Indra gave him an elevated seat. He became cursed by what's her name? Ravasi, yeah. And so what are we today? 115, yeah. 115:15, yeah. It was he only who withdrew the duration of life from everyone, and in the battlefield withdrew the speculative power and strength of enthusiasm from the great military phalanx made by the Kauravas, headed by Bhishma, Karna, Drona, Salya.
Thanks, brother.
The arrangement was expert and more than adequate, but he, Sri Krishna, while going forward, did all this. So with feeling, he's chanting all this stuff, remembering. And so finally, he's describing how he's become totally bewildered. I had the same Gandiva bow. I had the same horses, but everything has become useless. I can't do anything. Everybody in Dwarka had disappeared. The Yadus have killed themselves. You know, and now 27. Now I'm attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead Govinda, because they were impregnated with instructions to relieve the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Yeah. Sudha Goswami said, thus being deeply absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord, which were imparted in the great intimacy of friendship, and in thinking of his lotus feet, Arjuna's mind became pacified and free from all contamination. Like that. So that's, of course, this very, very nice little summary of the Bhagavad Gita. I think it's that verse. Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion. And as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. Because of the Lord's pastimes and activities, and because of his absence, it appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the Lord. But factually, this was not the case. And again, he became Lord of his senses. And tomorrow's verse, or I guess maybe Monday, I'm not sure how you do it. Because of his possessing spiritual assets, this is very important. We have to acquire this. You know, what's it called in theater? It's called vasanas. But we call them Agata Sukriti. Agata Sukriti. And the pious activities they acquire, then we're able to understand the philosophy. You have to wash the pots in the kitchen enough times that you'll be able to understand the class. Because of his possessing spiritual assets, the doubts of duality were cut off because he had spiritual assets. Thus, he was free from the three modes of material nature and placed in transcendence. There was no longer any chance of his becoming entangled in birth and death, for he was freed from material form. So he's gone. You look at his eyes and you realize he doesn't see you unless you're Krishna conscious. You know? Actually, realize thinking about that, the other things I was reading this week and so on. So many times, Prabhupada, people make some kind of like not very organized question or something like that, and Prabhupada just wouldn't pick up on it. It wasn't intense. It wasn't really all that important to them or anybody else. And seeing that Prabhupada would kind of respond to their general thing and just answer and say something. He would interject good, solid Krishna consciousness within the kind of range of what they were talking about. So sometimes, of course, that would force them to get their thoughts together and make it more accurate and make it like, you know, the trash to subside and the real motivated inquiry come. You know, to catch Prabhupada's attention, it had to be motivated inquiry, not absurd inquiry like that. And then it says, after that, Yudhisthira also decided to go back to Godhead, like that. So Arjuna is finished. I guess he's kind of like waiting for someone waiting for Yudhisthira to do his work and everybody else, and they take off. I don't know if he took off together or not. I guess maybe even not. I kind of have the impression the brothers took off and Draupadi tried to follow them, but talking about it now, maybe just that was it. They lost their conception as God brothers. They're no longer keeping a conception of God brothers anymore. That's something in the material world. You know? There's a nice topic. Yeah. So back to the purport then, maybe a little quick here. Get a chance for everybody else to make comments. Okay. So the purport, I was noticing, Prabhupada says, the conditioned soul is enwrapped in his fruitive activities by the force of eternal time. So that's time. You know, when what is it, the devotee. He's a businessman. We one of our disciples, you know, and a very active business guy in South America. He has a printing business. You can probably hear the train going by. We're about one house away from the train. Wait 1 second here. Hare Krishna. I keep telling them they should talk to the train people and get a Nilamadava station here. And then get a Radharani Express going once or twice a day. Can go all around the train tracks in Houston and pick up people and drop them off at Nilamadava station. As you saw, nice. Little Nilamadava station. Whoop, whoop. Yeah. Wow. So, yeah. Oh yeah, so Abhiram, he was always different things happening in his business. He has two ulcers, just like a good healthy businessman. Different employees, I think about 20 employees, about 20 families were depending on the business and stuff like that. You know, and you can see it's very like Vaishya thing. What's the word? Lower class Vaishya, which means half his money is in the air. Somebody gives him money, he pays off the debt he has to the printer for the last paper he got. You know, and then the printer's willing to give him some more paper, and then, you know, and every now and again, of course, he loses one of the balls, and everything falls on the ground. He apologizes to everybody, and they say it's okay. You know, you've come through for us so many times and did this stuff. You know, so it's what is it, passion and ignorance. You know, that kind of Vaishya program. But a devotee, you know, is such a wonderful person in many ways. But he said he's just his partner wanted to go, so he let him go. This and that, he's reduced down to doing a few contracts of regular people so he can have, like, you know, reasonable money. But he said he talked to an astrologer and he said, yeah, you've gone into this whole period of Jupiter and stuff now, whatever, and now, I'm sorry, now you're going to have, it's going to be your most, like, what, like, academic type thing in your life in about 12 years. And he sees that. He's just starting to study and read. And he said if you didn't have Prabhupada's books, you would have got right into novels and all this kind of stuff, you know. So a conditioned soul is enwrapped in his fruitive activities by the force of eternal time. It's all kind of set up in a general sense what's going to happen to us, the tendencies, the nature, the characteristics. And we, if you think we're free, well, we see in life, things change. Things change. Our relationships with the opposite sex, our influence as leaders, so many things. You know? So astronomy is there, astrology. Okay? Probably say we could use it if you could find some good people to investigate it for you. You know? But the Supreme Lord, when he incarnates on earth, is not influenced by Kala or the material conception of past, present, and future. The activities of the Lord are eternal, and they are manifestations of his Atmataya potency. So it's describing in Arjuna, everybody else, and also all of us involved in ISKCON. Yeah, ISKCON, you know, under Srila Prabhupada, is a transcendental organization. You know, and our different positions and activities in relationship to Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON and each other, they're not a part of the material world. You know, there may be some kind of mental conception of past, present, and future coming along, but you know, anybody says no, then we doesn't have to be that way. You know, we can change it if we have to, or we can accept it the way it is and use it for Krishna. Okay, but if it's not quite right, then we'll pray to Krishna. You know? I think it was actually Dallas. The devotee said it was raining. They're going to start their Rath Yatra. They go around the block. It's a big block. You know, it's a good sized festival. But it was just raining and stuff, and so we got to cancel it. We should start making arrangements to have the festival inside, and not enough room, but it's raining outside. So the pujari said, I've been praying to my Lady Subhadra, and boy, it's not going to happen. She'll adjust it. Come on, let's do it. But it's raining. Come on, let's go. Okay. He said they got to the door of the temple with the deities and stopped raining. Like that. Oh, ye of little faith. And the pujari, of course, felt vindicated beyond anything on earth like that. Told you so, yeah. Yeah. So, but that's what happens. And maybe even people can talk about, boy, experiences of so many times. Krishna, if we're trying to stay in the pace, matching our pace to the pace of the Lord, you know, a little austerity when we eat, you know, a little austerity when we do it to take our recreation, a little austerity when we sleep, a little austerity in terms of our prestige, and keep everything in the pace of the Lord. Pace means time. And to catch up with the Paramatma and write things, keep a schedule. That's Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means following a schedule. You know? Yeah, which is difficult if you're traveling from time zone to time zone. Yeah. But then what happens? You know, the Prabhupada says in the end of the purport, he says, this is the perfection of life. One should therefore adjust the activities of life in pace with the mission of the Lord. And by doing this, one is sure to return back home, back to Godhead. This is the highest perfection of life. I'll tell you, brothers, you'll like Godhead. It's a good place. Come forward and be baptized. Yeah. Mahalia Jackson's there. Yeah, everybody's there. Billy Graham, so on. Bin Laden, I don't know. Yeah, but everybody, and even if it's the whole point is even the Godhead and devotional service are non-different. So when we get fired up, enthusiastic, the trash subsides, we're accelerated, then we know what's happening, different places, different pastimes, different universes, whatever we need to know, we feel assured. You know, I was actually kind of thinking if whether or not I've been able to do enough service to Srila Prabhupada and purify myself, that he'll take me with him, you know, for forever. I can join in the Sankirtan party forever, like that. And yeah, you know, there's moments every now and then you stop and look at yourself and say, well, what have I really done? How much has basically been because I like the sense gratification and it's gone? Or how much is that, but I've actually done something and like that and so on. It isn't always so impressive sometimes. But maybe, another thing too is sit down and calculate how many Maha Mantras you've chanted. Figure 16 rounds a day. Okay, what is this? 1,728 mantras per round. Just calculate it sometime. It'd be a little impressive. Even if they're only like 0.1% or 0.01% functional, with that many Maha Mantras, eventually you should have caught somebody's attention. Hare Krishna. Oh, you want something? Yeah. Yeah. I want to join the party. I want to do something. Something I can do like that, which is my nature, you know, because I have something special to give. You know? So anyway, this is the whole Lila Smarnam. You know, Krishna, their activities are not a part of the material world. And of course, it's a big topic. And when we Mamana Bhava Ma Bhakto, and because we're confidential friends of Krishna, I remember one time it said that, I think it was Lochan Das Thakur, he said, anybody who reads Srimad Bhagavatam is my friend. So I was thinking that, I was thinking at the time of death when the Yamadutas come for us, you know, to drag us off, you know, Lochan Das Thakur is going to come there and say, don't take these guys, they're my friends. okay, Mr. Lochan Das, we'll go look for somebody else. Yeah. So this is it. If we just, you know, become connected to ISKCON, the internal potency, and we become friends with Prabhupada, friends with devotees, make friendship on a spiritual basis. In the beginning, it's very unnatural, going to classes, this kind of stuff. But it's nice. It's liberating. Makes things auspicious, like that. You know? But then, you know, gradually, eventually, we actually start to make friendship on the basis of these books. You know, I hear that's what happens. Yeah, Mamano Bhakti Majima Namaskuru. Yeah, we think of Krishna by chanting our rounds, by serving him. You become his devotee. You offer obeisances to him. And then don't doubt, Krishna says. Don't doubt. You know, we try and do it with some affection. Don't doubt, you know, that Krishna will, you know, give us all the information we need, you know, to go back to him, you know, and to become fixed in pure devotional service. You know. Because Arjuna was his confidential friend, the secret was disclosed to him. Because Arjuna was his confidential friend, the secret was disclosed to him. Jai, so Papa ki jai. Any comments, questions? Anybody have any? Anybody want to? Complaints? Donations?
Yeah, jai.
Just comment. Lovely class as always. I was thinking you were giving the example of the pujari who was praying to, was it Lady Subhadra, to stop the rain, and you said that the devotee was sort of vindicated when the rain actually stopped. But I was thinking that we can't lose faith if the rain doesn't stop, that we really have to have a broad vision that, you know, Krishna's plan is just inconceivable. And Krishna, there may be a Rath Yatra and we're all set to go and a terrible rain comes and we pray to Krishna to stop it, if Krishna would so like to stop it. But sometimes, many times, our plans are sort of foiled in that way, and we just have to have faith that Krishna has some reasoning that is all auspicious and all loving and all benevolent and all wonderful. But to our reasoning, we may not be able to calculate it or understand it. And we got to be careful not to lose faith in those situations.
That was exactly what Grandfather Bhishma Dev told the Pandavas, no? When he was about to leave his body in a bed of arrows.
Yeah, that's easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
No one can know the plan.
Yeah. He said, but what? How could they be sure that it was Krishna's plan and it wasn't their Maya? What did he tell them? What was the criterion for this is Krishna's plan, it's not your Maya.
Even the great sages and saintly persons and all together, no one can understand that.
But he told them, he said, but you've been guided by the scriptures, the brahmanas, and God, you know? Yeah. So as long as we're chanting our rounds, consulting with devotees, and following Prabhupada's books, then if it rains, whatever happens, okay, that's Krishna's plan. You know, we did our best. One time in Barcelona and Madrid, for example, they wanted to get the Central Plaza, a nice place, and it would have been a great place. Of course, thousands of tourists, everything would have come there. But the city just wouldn't give it to them for the Rath Yatra. Okay, so I was there, and the Rath Yatra was going on. And then right when they passed by the Central Plaza like that, the wheel broke. So the cart was like, you know, right next to the curb, and the police weren't bothered by it. You know, they did a little bit of work. One guy had to stay there and kind of shuffle the traffic around us, like that. But they weren't bothered. They actually got like kind of enjoying like the music and everything else. Otherwise, he'd be sitting there in traffic doing a horrible job. But it was a kirtan going on. Okay, the cart's right there. So many people just gathered on the sidewalk and down into the park, and they started distributing like prasad and doing kirtan, and they couldn't get a move for like about 45 minutes, you know. And so finally they got out of there, and then nobody was upset to please nobody else like that. But it was kind of like Lord Jagannath just decided, okay, you won't give me your park? I'll take it. I'll just sit down here. Yeah. The point is that we become confidently assured, no? Prabhupada says that a devotee, when he becomes purified, he can really sense all this weird stuff happening, but it's all within Krishna's plan. It's something I don't understand, and maybe I couldn't do my role properly if I understood. I mean, if I was Draupadi, I knew what was going to happen because of me. I probably might have committed suicide, you know, to keep this from happening or something like that. You know, she says she's born from the death of many Kshatriyas, but it's like, you know, young girl and everything else. My God, thinking that your life's going to cause so much destruction, death, and everything else. So she couldn't know probably all, you know, exactly her role in the game like that.
Maharaj, I have two questions for you.
Okay.
Number one, can Bhakti Vaibhava be done all online? And then number two, so how do we become a Bhakti Vaibhava sentient?
Well, so your first question is if it's online?
Yeah, can it all be done?
Yeah. Let me kick up the volume here, my thing. Yeah, okay, got it. Damn difficult, Baba. It's like, see what's happening. We're having real experience now. And in different groups like that with Seisha and Mayapur Institute and Radhadesh, everything else. And it's, what's the what thing? Bhakti Shastri, of course, is more simple. You know, Bhagavad Gita and basic books and stuff like that. And so in some ways, more people have that interest. They want to read those books like that, you know. And so you can have more people associating, and you know, okay, by the time you take second initiation, you should have your Bhakti Shastri diploma. Okay. Bhakti Vaibhava is more systematic study, and it starts to get in more depth. And so, this is what Bhagavatam is, the way the Bhagavatam is. It starts getting more complicated, you know, more sophisticated in some ways. You know? So, generally speaking, there aren't so many devotees who want to take the Bhakti Vaibhava certificate. When you see the work involved and everything else. So you end up kind of being without so many devotees locally and stuff like that. So that's what our experience is, that it's very difficult, myself too, to do it all by yourself. You know. But for example, what's starting to work out now is, for example, in Boise, Idaho, we had Upendra, who builds bridges for the state, Srinivas, who makes chips for Micron, 5 guys work under him, and Srihari, who's a third level in the Department of Water Resources. Then his son, Ajagovinda, you may know, is studying in Oxford, going nuts. Yeah, he's about to graduate with a PhD. So he logs on too. And then two of the ladies, Srinivas's and Shivari's wives, they also participate, you know. And that's just about it. A couple other people come in. So it's a WebEx thing. We got 5 people. It goes very nicely. And I go through there twice a year. And they kind of keep it together locally in terms of discussing and meeting. So that kind of thing works very effectively, you know. And so you're doing it online. Actually, in Spanish, it's called semi-presencial, which I guess in English means halfway present, you know. And so, yeah, you're like, you're attending, you're associating with, you have fellow students to read the materials. You're in touch with like somebody to give you some perspective and organize the program and give you goals and stuff, you know, once a week. And every now and again, there's a physical retreat like type program, get together. And that's working okay. It's working good, you know. What we're doing right now, we're applying to have Lima, Houston, and San Francisco accredited as Bhakti Vaibhava Diploma Centers. Then everybody in Oklahoma, whatever else, can relate to the center here. They can coordinate the programs. Have a retreat program, maybe a Jamastami or something like that. Everybody gets together and stuff. Okay, you haven't got to go to Mayapur. You know? So it's developing like that. Then online, what would probably would be online would be like either with the Mayapur Institute in Mayapur. I think they're developing it out of Radhadesh also. But then we've got this problem. You've got a different time zone, everything else. But if you've got one program someplace in Hawaii, everybody helping support a little program, a little bit of an office, then yeah, you're all in the same time zone. You can meet together sometimes. Okay, that's what we're trying to promoting is like having some regional centers. And then as things grow, already Boise, they want... See, first off, to become... If you go to iskoneducation.org, very simple, iskoneducation.org, there's their webpage, and we're pushing to have it more updated and stuff like that, because again, it's just one devotee is going to take charge of it and work on it like that. We've had the whole discussion about that to get it updated. It's still good, but it should be more active and stuff. So I think there under the Board of Examiners, they have all their standards. And to summarize it, the Bhakti Shastri program, to be a Bhakti Shastri center, you've got to have a program administrator. You've got to have somebody who grades the tests. There's certain kind of standards for the tests. You got to make sure nobody's cheating like that. Got to keep the records. And a few things. Okay, then you're a Bhakti Shastri center. And nobody has to take your courses or anything else. They can take your test with you. As long as they pass the test, they can get Bhakti Shastri diploma and a letter, you know, from their temple authorities saying, yeah, you've got good characters. There's a reasonable, good level of Bhakti Yoga. For Bhakti Bhai Baba, the Board of Examiners has introduced the curriculum standard. They're trying to introduce for Bhakti Shastri too, but a lot of objections about that. But for Bhakti Bhai Baba, they do want that the centers actually have like some kind of curriculum and way of teaching it, which is not bad. And they aren't like, you know, restricting like, you know, really heavily how you teach it. But there should be some regular way that, you know, the classes go on and there's some way of evaluating the results, people actually learning something, you know. And so by the time you graduate after 4 years or something with a Bhakti Bhai Baba diploma, and probably wanted all the sannyasis to have this, and ladies can also be sannyasis informally, children can, then you should be pretty educated. You know, you should know, basically you should know 70 verses from the Bhagavatam. You should have written 100 pages of essays, and you should be able to answer 200 questions, short answer questions on the content and the ideas and concepts in the first six cantos. But everybody's also realizing too, by that time, you should also probably know Microsoft Word, you should know PowerPoint. You know, you should be able to be a good, competent communicator, and it's not unnatural. 1 year as a bhakta, 1 year for your bhakti by bhakti to become a brahmana, bhakti shastri, 4 more years, okay, you're ready to be a preacher. And maybe the Krishna's got you engaged full time by that. Of course, this is the fast track. Somebody else may take 6 years or 20 years, 30 years. Okay, we're all different. So basically, that's it. It's just online. You're taking it with like different institutions that have it set up. Mayapur does not have an online program. What they have is you're supposed to study at home for 3 months, 3 cantos, and with probably the association of a teacher, but it's not real too intense. They're starting to adopt our model in some ways. You know, I gave a 2-hour class to them about how we did it. And then after that, you're supposed to go to Mayapur and spend 3 months there, having like a review of everything with a teacher, you know, every day, like maybe 6 hours of classes. So I did that. I was teaching for them. And the fact was that a lot of the students did not finish the work properly before they came. And a lot of them didn't even finish it the day before they came, like that. And so, you know, they were admitting, yeah, it's a struggle to get the thing functioning properly. But it was very nice, very sincere students. And a lot of people were caught up with it, you know. So I was just suggesting what you have to do is give a qualifying examination to your students before they're allowed to come to Mayapur and participate. This is the way the university works too for a PhD thesis. Before you're allowed to start work on your thesis, you have to finish your coursework, take a heavy examination for the PhD thesis, and then you can start doing your diploma work, what do you call it, your thesis work. So there are ways to try and keep it bhakti Bhai Baba, not just, you know, Bhai Baba or something. That's okay? That's kind of, any other points? I missed anything or, you know, talked too much?
Just wanted to read one letter here from Prabhupada, if you don't mind. Same topic. I want that all my spiritual sons and daughters will inherit this title of Bhaktivedanta, so that the family transcendental diploma will continue through the generations. Those possessing the title of Bhaktivedanta will be allowed to initiate disciples. Maybe by 1975, all my disciples will be allowed to initiate and increase the numbers of the generations. I don't know the date.
That letter's to Hansaduda, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I just got it sent. Oh, yeah. December 3rd, 1968 to Hansaduda, yeah.
He says that he Prabhupada was instituting the formal diplomas, and he said, Prabhupada, I understand the philosophy, so many things, but a lot of times I have a hard time, like, you know, doing these formal academic things. What should I do? And Prabhupada said, went back and said, yeah, Bhaktivedanta, I want that. But if it's there, I don't know. The rest of the letter says, but as far as you are concerned, you are already far beyond this. That's what the letter says. That Prabhupada considered some of his disciples were on the level of Baba and everything else, you know. By Sheshaka, he's taking the tests and everything else. Whenever I show him the list of verses, he says, yo. Like, he knows, like, I don't know how many verses he knows. It's unbelievable. Huh? And so, but for him, he's doing this, the same thing I'm doing. You know, like a lot of us is just going back over it, trying to get a nice review, systematizing the knowledge. But basically, yeah, I mean, Bhakti Sarvabhauma probably said you should know Chaitanya Charitamrita. But I think there are a lot of devotees who have a nice grasp on Chaitanya Charitamrita, a nice grasp on why Lord Chaitanya was doing things. And that's all that's required, you know. The sentiment, the feeling, okay, like that. You know? Reading Nectar of Instruction again and again and again and again, it seems that the basic concept, like in a very like formalistic sense, when you take first initiation, you're Kanista Adhikari. When you take second initiation, you're Madhyama Adhikari. When you become a Goswami, you're Uttama Adhikari. Take disciples all over the world, Baba. And then later on, you can make more progress to become a pure devotee. Die. Back to work. Enough philosophy. Yeah.
I was just going to say the site for his kind of education is very impressive. Wow.
They may have done, it was good before, but a little bit, for example, you check on some of the programs, they haven't been updated since 2003 or something, you know, like that. So they may have, like, for your temple, they may have, like, you know, program, you know, as Gurukula program, like, hey, we stopped it like 8 years ago. So, but they, one devotee is taking charge of the whole program, I think, maybe updated and stuff like that. Because that's the backbone. And the train's coming through here. So close. Yeah. Yeah. We went to the Theosophical Society last night. If you ever look on the web, I take the Britannica. Honestly speaking, for a lot of reasons, for about $50 a year, the Britannica is worth it. A little more accurate than the Wikipedia, but not as broad. I looked up the Theosophical Society. They have a whole history of that in their history. They're pretty here and there. So it was expected. It was a rich area in the house. They had two deer heads on the wall. They had a Kuan Yin, the goddess of mercy, with a mink, a dead mink skin at her feet, like that. But very nice people, very inquisitive. And we drank tea, you know, before the program. It was I had a peppermint tea. And the house was full of, the lady has this beautiful, like, things there. She had one of those places full of teapots, you know. And they were very interesting questions about, like, the culture and the philosophy. So we based it on Light of the Bhagavad, you know. But it was it. I could see it. I could just see that because we've been reading the first two cantos and everything else, the answers were so, like, you know, spontaneous from the Bhagavad culture and stuff like that, you know. So they wanted to come again and do more programs and everything else like that. You know? So very nice preaching here in Houston, you know. Big temple opening. You still haven't found the Adagiri Dari who stole them. You know? It's still kind of a heartbreak here for that. But, you know, anyway, it's gone.
What happened?
No, I mean, maybe a year ago now, they had small deities, about maybe like, you know, 1 foot, 1 foot a little more, 18 inches tall of Adagiri Dari underneath their big Govardhan Shila. And they came in the morning, they were gone. brass deities like that. So you put an advertisement out. We'll give some. We'll pay for them to be returned. But nothing. No news. Anybody like that. And of course, some devotees. You can see they become so attached to them. They're really very deep. With trauma. Losing them. So, but at the same time, too. Nimai took a little pleasure trip on the shoulder of the thieves, right, around Navadvip. They promising sweets, and he did a little bit of adventure trip, and they bewildered them, and they're taking it right back, So maybe the thieves will finally find a client that wants to buy them, and end up being a devotee or something like that, and they'll have to run away for their lives, to keep them being captured, and Radha Giridhar, you come right back again after their little adventure trip. Yeah, pray to God.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes. Who is this?
My name is Maharani Devidasi.
Wow.
And I find myself, even at my advanced age, a student at the University of Hawaii at Hilo. And I've started a bhakti yoga club in as far as the paperwork goes. I would like some advice on how to start, how to get people interested in coming and what we should do when I get them there.
Prabhupada gave very, very nice, what they're asking is when we go to Mexico next, we go there for a week on the 20th and come back 27th, asking topics, everything else. So in many places in South America, they have Friday night is Prabhupada night, the night of Prabhupada. I don't know if we have it in America so much. But there's almost Latin America, it's almost a universal thing, one night a week, either Friday or usually Friday or Saturday. It always strikes me as weird because in English the only thing the night of is always reminds me of the night of the living dead. It's that movie from back in the 50s or something like that. So I just think of the night of the living Prabhupada. It's kinda like Prabhupada coming back and, killing people and setting everything aright. Next morning, and the sun comes up, ISKCON is back in shape. Okay. So anyway, the night of Prabhupada, and they were wishing this way and that way. The title I came up with was Srila Prabhupada, learning from our senior god brothers. And because when I joined Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Jayananda, Subramanaraj, Hansaduta, obviously they're my gurus. But how are they my gurus? And that'd be a very nice topic because they're also the same thing is happening in Mexico. There's so many older devotees, but how do we relate to them and how do we not relate to them? So anyway, Sudhamana Maharaj saying, I think also Sadaputta, that Prabhupada gave a very good formula for the Bhakti Vedanta Institute, which of course is for dealing with universities. And I don't think if you just adjust it, I think it's a general formula, for all preaching. So the first thing is you have to have very, very nice reception. They come and they come to a nice house. They get received by a very, very sweet young lady receives the guy and says, "Hello, sir, your wife, and please give me your hat, your coat. Please both come into the sitting room here. Some other delegates are already here, and we're serving tea and nice cookies, and the fireplace is there." And so they have a very nice reception. They feel very well received, honored, respected in terms of who they are. Then after that, then nice prasadam. Okay. Then after that, then you talk philosophy.
Uh-huh.
So the university, there was actually an investigation one point in ISKCON. Sudhamana Maharaj was the guy in charge of university programs. Reports came in, and the university effective program at the universities was regular prasadam. It could be once a week, once a month. But it had to be regular, like the first Thursday of every week or something like that, And it should be a paying program, Not that it's just free prasadam distribution. It's a whole consciousness. If it's free, it couldn't be worth anything, But also, too, when it's paying, then there's no problem in maintaining the program. People pay a little bit. It can be a sampler thing, come and taste a little sample, or it can be a regular full lunch, like the Krishna lunch, where you get your meal every day. And then, of course, if some money is coming in. But the main thing is regular. And usually the thing is that the students, in many cases, are, like I said, Chaitanya Charitamrita, very proud. of what they know. So unless you got, unless you can play that whole game with your PhD or something else like that, you know, then it's most people, it's not like a good thing to get into that game directly. You know, the best way to go in is the opposite, is have a nice program with a so-and-so club, a nice tablecloths and chafing dishes or nice posters and nice topics. And then, okay, good reception. You know? And then after that, you have nice prasadam. Again, it can be just simple snack type things and a taste. Just, we're going to do sweets this week. We're going to do this month, pakoras next month. And then a beautiful book table. That's the other element. Because these people, they'll take a little prasadam. Nobody's trying to like preach to them. You know, they know more than we do anyway. But they can't resist a good book table. So in that sense, it's more than just maybe one book. It's actually investing in having a lot of variety of different titles and different appearances. And the books will sell themselves in many cases. That's the whole thing then. You know? And usually, again, the thing is it takes about 1 year before you start to see the result. People take in prasadam, they buy a book, they look at it, they look at it a little bit more. Some people, of course, are faster than that. You know, some people will kick in right away. But most people, after about 1 year of doing it steadily, then you start to see you're having like a harvest. People are coming forward on a regular basis, joining up. And of course, this is keeping the continuity, you know, year after year. So nice reception, nice prasad, and then nice book table for the students. And other than that, you know, as the relationships just start to develop, just talk to people, listen to them, and then you start to see like what we can do. You know? Oh, hey, we're having a class on Thursday in a comparative religion class, can you come? Hey, we're having a thing on biology. Our teacher wants a debate on creationism. Can you come and represent, you know, Hindi philosophy? Hey, you know, so on. Yeah, that's what I know. What I've experienced. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, invite us to come for prasadam sometime. Samosas, pakoras.
Anything else, Prabhu? For Maharaj?
From the Big Island. Sweated weep. You've got to cover the Big Island with cows, white cows.
Okay, thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you very much. This is always a wonderful association. So, Paul Paki, Jai.
Jai. Thank you, Maharaj. Hari Bol. Thank you, Ramananda.
Hari Bol.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.